The Dark Paranormal is supported by BetterHelp. Now, you'll have heard me talk about BetterHelp for a long time, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. But you can check it all out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews and see those amazing customer reviews in real time. The reviews are updated every day with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who've actually used this service speaks for itself. And as more than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally, it's easy to see why. This consistent feedback from real users make it easy to see why so many people continue to choose BetterHelp. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialities. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com, that's better, H-E-L-P.com. Memoirs are powerful things. We can look back and almost remind ourselves that we did get through that seemingly impossible thing. We can take a third-person perspective at our own historic emotional pattern. As you guys are aware, most seasons have at least one episode, which is not a single experience. It's more a chronological memoir of the dark paranormal events one listener has spent a lifetime dealing with. So, for future reference, we'll be naming those episodes Haunted Lives, just so that everyone listening has an idea how the upcoming episode is going to be framed. And today's experience is the first to be attributed that framing, because you're about to hear descriptions of a lifetime of moments that our submitter has carried quietly, each one marking another occasion when the darkness found its way back to her. From the things that watched her as a child, to the presences that followed her into adulthood. And even, well, no spoilers. However, these experiences do form a record of someone. As someone who believes she has spent her life standing between our world and that beyond it. Whether that's made her a witness, a guide, or simply a beacon for things searching for a way through. As always, I'll leave up to you. On our season midpoint, episode 5 of season 25 of The Dark Paranormal. Hello everyone, and welcome back to episode 5 of season 25 of The Dark Paranormal. Yes, it's the midpoint already. These things, I swear, are getting quicker each and every season we do. So, genuinely, thank you for taking the time to check us out. I honestly believe you will not be disappointed. And, as you are new, just an FYI, if we combine the previous 24 seasons, all the minisodes, Dark Realms episodes, etc. on this feed alone, there's close to 180 hours worth of The Dark Paranormal that you can go and binge right now for free on this feed. Now, do stay tuned to the end, as we'll inform you how you can not only join our Patreon, but also experience a week free, and the benefits and perks that come with that, as well as details on how to submit your experience for our show. But right now, it's time. Lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we hear our first haunted life, sought after by darkness. I want to start by thanking not just you, Kevin, but all of the family here at The Dark Paranormal. Everyone that has written in and everyone who listens with an open heart to all the tales. And that thank you isn't just from me. The other side wants to say they listen too. Like many who have written in and commented, whenever I listen to your podcast, things start to happen. The moment your voice hits my ears, even with AirPods in, I get this sense that a hand, or many hands, are on my shoulder, listening. That I'm suddenly surrounded by others. I asked aloud once if they had anything to say to you for whenever I got around to writing this, and essentially they said, they hear us. Like you've said on many occasions, when you look into the darkness looks back. They are indeed looking back at us, and they're observing us as we are them. But I'll get to them shortly. My name's Ashley. You can use it, though I will be changing or altering other names and places for obvious reasons. I will say too, before I get to my experiences, that I am an empath, and I have all of the clair abilities. As in, I can sense the other realm in every way that you or I can sense things in our world. It's been something that I struggled with for much of my life, but more recently I've embraced it. Growing up, seeing the darkest things imaginable was absolutely terrifying for me as a child, and for many years I pushed my abilities to the back burner. For a while I was even granted an almost radio silence with the other side. Like a radio that was on in another room, but the volume is set so low you can only make out a faint buzzing. Since becoming a parent myself and seeing how my children have adopted many of my abilities, I forced myself to learn and embrace my gifts. I've discovered that I'm an energy healer, working on the physical body as well as the aura, and the energy that surrounds each of us. I've also become more of a beacon for spirits that have messages that need delivering, or for the ones that need help crossing over. I happen to live near a cemetery, so I get lots of traffic from those souls that have passed in the last few centuries, and those entities that are much, much older. Now, onto the darkness, as that's why we're all here. My first really dark memory, that isn't some vague remembrance or story told to me, was when I was around 8 years of age, at a tea party. It was at my grandmother's house on a beautiful sunny Saturday. My grandmother was one of those people that didn't like a mess. She counted her silverware after you left, and loved you very much, but was mean about it. I, being the eldest of all the cousins, was in charge of watching the crew, and right now they needed more art supplies. So I ran into her small home down the hall to the left bedroom, the playroom, just to get some more paper, and I ran back out as quick as I could. Halfway down the hall, I realized I'd forgotten something, and I turned tail to run right back in, but I stopped. As in the doorway right in front of me, my uncle's room, was a man leaning halfway out of the door. He was transparent, but solid transparent, like thick white smoke stuck inside of a glowing person's shell. His face looked curious as he kept leaning out of this now half-open door, tilting his head around his arm on the door to look at the playroom, seemingly also curious as to what I was up to. I didn't move, I couldn't breathe. But when he turned his head back towards me and I realized I was looking at him and not through him, his demeanor changed from curiosity to pure hatred. His face contorted into anger and he became two of himself in an instant. The angry man in the doorway came face to face with me, and an even larger, more malicious version of himself stood behind himself. The larger of these two identical things slammed the door in my face, and the man still in the doorway was slammed in half, dissipated into wisps of smoke. Needless to say, I ran back to everyone screaming about this man I'd just seen in my uncle's room. But when the grown-ups went to look, his room was in a shambles. The blinds looked as if a gang of cats had been fighting in them. There are no pets in this house. The bedsheets were pulled apart. Drawers were flung open with their contents spilling out. His room, like the rest of Grandma's house, was always in pristine condition. We were not allowed in his or her room, and we all knew that. So, of course, with all this information, I got in trouble for destroying the room. And no one bothered to listen when I said it wasn't me. I'm 38 years old right now, and the way his face turned as it turned to look at me still haunts me. Around the age of 13, which I know is when many paranormal things either start or develop, depending on the situation, my family and I moved into a rather cute and very unassuming yellow house. This yellow house would become my second truly haunted home. My first being from preschool, but those memories are vague and uncanny in a way that memories mixed with dreams are. There was a menagerie of shadow people in this house, and they would hang around the corners of doors, above cabinets in the kitchen. They watched me knowing I could see them and would just occupy a space, staring at me. When they would slink away, it was in that creepy way that predators do to let you know they'll be back. I got used to the dishes being thrown out of the sink, the back door occasionally being opened, footsteps coming in, and then silence. It always seemed to happen when either I was alone or the only one awake in the house. My bedroom had large corner bay windows, and each night the scene through my window would turn from a yard with a playset to visions of hell. I would see people being torn apart. Human organs thrown at the glass, smearing red on the windows. And of course, everything would be back to normal by morning. No demons, no pits, no pools of torture. There was something dark about that land that I could pick up on even then. There were things that people in neighbouring properties did that would make your skin crawl and your toenails curl. There would be far too many trigger warnings to list them if I did mention a fraction of what I saw in that house from the living alone. It got so bad at one point, I begged my spirit guide to take my gifts away. It was getting far too dark for me. I was a kid, and what I was experiencing, I couldn't do anymore. I remember these guides begging me to push through, but it was too much. And they finally allowed me to have a sense of radio silence for many years. Through the rest of my teens, I was more or less a normal person. There were times I would maybe drink too much at parties and then get weird. But the terror did seem to stop. As a side note, I found out later that two teens had committed suicide behind that house. My mum joked that they bugged me because they had a crush on me. I knew there was more to the land than that, and I'm glad I have nothing to do with it anymore. Fast forward, and I'm now living in a small town in Colorado. I'm 31 years old, very pregnant with my first child, and lying awake on our bed at some late night hour. Our bedroom had two doors, one that led to the nursery and one that took you to the kitchen. Upon entering the kitchen, you could go toward the front of the house with the living room and dining room or towards the back door to the yard, where there was a landing that allowed you to use the stairs to get to the unfinished basement. It was one of those old basements with the coal chute still inside from the original design, and open-air vents everywhere that did absolutely nothing. Before I go on, I will say I have had many instances of sleep paralysis. Just to say I know the feeling of that, and this particular night felt like something completely different. Something more tangible than a shadow person or a spirit, creeping to my side of the bed. On that night, whilst laying in bed, too pregnant to sleep, I started to hear faint music coming from the basement stairs. And while the basement was below us, the sound was emanating from the back stairs, as if the noise only travelled up that way and not through any of the main floor vents in our bedroom. The house was built in the 70s, but this music was older than that. Like a faint radio playing ragtime tunes. The sound ebbed from being loud to being muffled, like someone was messing with the volume or the dial. It sounded like the energy of a party all around me, and yet the only sound was that of the radio. I listened intently, but I couldn't hear a single person talking. I couldn't hear anyone moving, but I could feel their energy all around me. It was like there were hundreds of people in my tiny basement. It was about this exact time that I seemed to walk out of my body to investigate. There's not much you can do about the money you have now, but if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. And with the Acorns Potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you have is spare change. Because Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. And the Acorns Potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money can grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, every week, or month to make sure you're building toward your goals. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. I've had and used many financial applications, but the specific thing about the Acorns app I love is the potential screen. Of all the apps I've used, it gives me such a clear picture of the opportunities for my cash to grow. So sign up now, and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. T2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. I'll be the first to admit I am not the most organized man in the world, especially when it comes to organizing a dinner party. There's usually always a missing ingredient, and normally it's the main ingredient, which then leads to a rushed supermarket trip to pick the best of the worst that's been left out. A problem that would simply not exist if I was stateside and able to use Omaha Steaks. With the ability to get fresh Omaha steaks and keep them frozen in my freezer, I would never have this danger again. With things like their legendary steaks, their flavor-filled burgers, and seafood and chicken, it's like having your own trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at home. And you may think, can frozen delivery be this good? Well, yes. Omaha Steaks are known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. And if you've never tried them before, start perfectly with the Burger Perfection Flight. The Burger Perfection Flight includes four pure ground versions of the following meats: filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. And get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See the site for details. While I was still physically laying in bed, awake, and listening to this weird noise, I was also peering around the corner of the door leading to the kitchen, where I could see a faint red glow coming from the basement. But it didn't alarm me. I was more curious than anything. And then that radio sound distorted like the station had been changed. And it was at that point an immediate panic came over me and I shot back into my body, locked in my bed and absolutely terrified. I could see the red glow beginning to grow through the door from the kitchen, getting closer and brighter until I saw it. This opaque white ball, about the size of a baseball, with a red glow, was hovering itself into my room. It didn't even make a sound, and I couldn't hear that radio anymore. I couldn't hear anything anymore, not even my own breath. And then it began to scan me. It was like I knew it was checking my stomach and my baby. Inside my head, I was screaming for it to leave me alone, to leave my daughter alone. It couldn't have her. I don't know why, but I knew it did want to take her. I got no information from it. Usually I could sense something, but this gave nothing. Nothing but a glow and a scanned light. It silently floated over my body, from my toes to my head, and then over my husband from his head to toes. The entire time I'm still begging and pleading inside for it to leave, trying to scream, trying to move. But I lay completely solid where I was. It finished my husband's scan and floated out of the room the same way it had come in. And at that moment, the feeling of terror left me. The radio sound came back too, the moment this thing was out of sight. But the music was now softer, and it went quieter and quieter until it was just the normal sounds of the house. I don't know when I was able to move again or how I finally drifted off to sleep. It was the only time that particular thing ever made itself known to me. The only other creepy things that happened in that house were more dream-related, which isn't what we cover here. But one dream in particular does still haunt me. And that's one of me doing a ritual where I jump timelines. I sometimes wonder if that and the orb are connected, and if it wasn't all actually a dream. Much more recently, I've been asked to do a few home cleansings for people close to me, or people who know my background. One was for a co-worker, we'll call her Zed, who was having an issue with two separate entities in her home. One that would terrorize the attic, that she and her sister were terrified of, and had named George, and one that mimicked in the basement, and would stand so close you could feel their breath. I remember driving by her house after to get a scent of the place, and the thing I saw on her roof was enormous, like the monster version of No Face from the movie Spirited Away. This big black mass was just hanging onto her roof, occupying space. When I arrived, I did a tarot reading for her, just to find out what all this was that was going on and where I should focus before smudging the house. I started with the attic, with the mass that was affectionately named George. I could see him running from the smoke, trying to hide. It had an overbearing nature, like his very presence was suffocating to be around. It was odd because I could tell he didn't want to leave. Even with the hatred he radiated towards any and everything, there was something that seemed to want to keep him here. It took some effort, but I was able to clear him from the home with help from my guides. When we got to the basement, where Zed's room was, it was a different sort of oppressive energy. Zed believed this was Aunt Sandy, a friend's aunt that had previously owned and died in the house. She was known to speak very close to people and be very nosy in life. And it also seems in death, as when I said her name, Aunt Sandy, she was suddenly standing so close to me, her nose almost touched my left cheek. A mousy-looking woman with stringy brown hair that fell to her shoulders. Yes, it's not what you would first picture when you think of something oppressive or overbearing. However, her scowl felt like it burnt my skin. Apparently, she'd been mimicking Zed's voice at night, tormenting Zed's father at all hours. It got to the point where her dad would wake up to Zed screaming in terror, only to run in her room and find her fast asleep. Aunt Sandy also did not want to leave, and she put up quite a fight before I made her leave too. I also closed a portal in a mirror in Zed's room. I don't think that's where Aunt Sandy came from, but you can never be too safe. Weeks went by and a little voice told me to check in with her about everything. And Zed informed me that everything was good for a while. But recently the activity in the attic had started up again. So, of course, we made a date for me to come over. I showed up early and decided to do some pendulum and tarot work on her deck whilst I waited for her. Now, I want to say before going any further that the area I reside now was once Native American land and a particularly sacred land to its people, who were forced out violently. There are beings that still reside here, taking care of the land and its people even after all of this time. There are two prominent spirits I work with on this land, one that respects what I do, and one that rightfully sees a white person and doesn't trust me, but hasn't written me off entirely yet. I was introduced to them by a child spirit, years back that I'd helped, and now they help me help others. Neither has ever spoken to me directly, but they do offer assistance when asked. The former is who showed up, thankfully. A beautifully noble man with a sun-worn face, with a huge headdress covered in beads and feathers. Just what you would picture when you picture Native American royalty, but so much bigger than that. He stood there, saying nothing whilst I did my work, and I discovered that the entity I knew as George was created by another entity that still resided in the house. A female energy that was full of so much rage and trauma that the very hatred she felt had become the entity that I saw as George. George was the rage and hate this woman felt in life. In the shell of that absence was left the raw despair of this woman, still full of rage, but a tormented and shattered version of that emotion. It wasn't until I'd done that tarot card reading that I realized the entirety of the situation. This woman was a Native woman. A Native woman who'd had a baby with a white man. I got the sense that love was involved in the conception, but there was also betrayal. The woman in this man's life, I think a mum, a sister, or aunts, despised this Native woman and their joint offspring. They schemed, and the child was taken away while its mother was murdered. Her grief at the loss of her child and not knowing where he was or if he was alive was compounded by the betrayal and hatred she felt for those people that hadn't just taken her land, but her life and her legacy from her. She'd had no idea what had befallen her son, and that turned her soul sour. Her emotions became too large for one soul, and she became split into a hatred side, George, and what is left when all you have is tragedy, My guides told me that the child had lived and had created a very beautiful life and family. I gave her that message, and I said she would know everything once she crossed over. However, she didn't believe me. I was just another white woman telling her what I wanted her to hear. That is the moment I asked for help, and the beautifully wrinkled man appeared in the room. It was like he was always there, but hadn't shown himself until asked. They talked, but I couldn't hear a word of what they said. It was like an hours-long conversation that happened in a single moment. And when that moment was finally over, she ran straight into his arms. When they embraced, it was like a sun going into a supernova, and just as quick as the flash, they were gone. I've asked since, and the activity has stopped, at least for now. I've closed other portals and banished other entities since. But nothing has stayed with me like this mother's love for her child warping into what it became. My children seem to have inherited many of my gifts, and because of that, I do try to keep our home as positive energy-wise as I can. There are wards around our home, but occasionally things do get through. Recently, my daughter has been woken up by the Hat Man. I let it know that he can terrorize another house or be gone from existence, and my daughter hasn't mentioned him since. Most of the entities in our home are children, and completely harmless, save for the occasional toy being played with in the middle of the night. Sometimes it can get a little full, and I do have to move them along to the next plane. Like flashes of light going off in my house, they cross to the next stage of being. I feel as though I've become a beacon for many of them, for the ones that don't know where to go or what to do, and good or bad, I try to help where I can. Thank you, Kevin, and the whole family here on The Dark Paranormal. This was a lot more energy draining than I thought possible, and has taken me longer to put pen to paper than I feel it should have. I have a lifetime of dark stories, as the darkness seems to seek me out more than the light. I know what you're thinking, and yes, I will send those in when I get the time and energy to do so. This was exhausting, but also cathartic, in that I don't have to live these memories alone anymore. Sending love and light to all who need it. Ashley. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for your kind words about the Dark Paranormal family. I really like that phrase. And thank you for being the very first of our newly titled Haunted Lives. And the idea for that came from an internal chat between me and the team, where we were looking at the titles of episodes, and somebody made out a very good point that when we do get these submissions, which are a plethora of paranormal events that have taken place throughout somebody with a psychic gift's life, it's not necessarily the same as a normal experience that follows a traditional arc or trajectory. And therefore, we should set them as something different. And following an exceptionally quick meeting when somebody suggested just putting Haunted Lives at the start of the name of the episode, we all agreed that's the perfect way to let listeners know you're about to hear an almost diarized event from this submitter. So Ashley, thank you for being our first in this format. And there are two fantastic things you mention in your submission that I've not heard of before, which is why I love it. Whenever I hear something brand new, I'm always excited. And the first was the mention of the entity that split itself into two, with a more malevolent version of itself standing behind the first version. Because, and long-time listeners will understand this, it's exceptionally rare to be 255 episodes into the main show, that's not including experiences from minisodes, etc., and hear something you haven't heard before. And it's also one of those things that if you're inventing a story, it's either next level creative genius or it's a sincere thing that took place. And given that that was just one part of your experience or your email, I most certainly have to side with the latter. And the second thing that you mentioned, which is one of my favorite topics to do with the paranormal in general, was the idea that this poor lady's emotions had manifested themselves into this negative, sentient, it would appear, entity. It's almost the exact description of the formation of a tulpa, which, as I've mentioned before, is one of the most amazing ideas in the whole paranormal sphere for me. So Ashley, this was phenomenal. Genuinely, thank you so much for submitting your series of experiences. And on that topic, how to submit your own experience to the dark paranormal. Now in the show notes, you will find a link that will take you direct to the Submit My Experience page on the website. Or you can go to thedarkparanormal.com and click where it says Submit My Experience. Now, I also said at the start, I would mention how you can claim a free week of our Patreon at the highest tier. At that tier, you will gain access not only to the back catalogue of everything we've done on Patreon, which is now coming into around well over 250 plus hours, I believe. And that's made up of two things. The back catalogue of Dark Bites, which is a half-hourly show each and every week of the year, even on the downtime between seasons, where we look at shorter experiences, and also the new show, After Dark, where I go through my thought processes and theories about our episodes. But all that info is in the show notes. But as ever, thank you all so very much for joining me here today for episode 5. We'll be back next week with episode 6, where we return to our video format and the second of our 3, 6, 9 look at a lesser known, but should be better known, famous case. Until then, stay safe and remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.